So that means you need to open up your Bible to Genesis chapter 1. When the world began, the entirety of the world was pitch black. Total darkness. And the Lord simply said four words. He said, "Let there be light." And there was light. In Genesis 1:14, you move from that first day to the fourth day of creation. Look what the scripture here says in Genesis 1:14 about light. With me, please. God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night. Let them," the lights, "be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made two great lights. Greater light to rule the day, lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also and set them in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Now, from the very onset of history, the world has been divided between light and dark. You can't go anywhere in the world where it's not divided between light and dark. Every day of your life, intermittent between light and dark. That is also true in the spiritual realm. There is a domain of spiritual darkness, and there is a domain of spiritual light. I want to say something about the realm of spiritual darkness today. I want to say something about the realm of spiritual light. I want you to hear what the Bible says. You see, the Bible says that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. He's perfect, brilliant light. And men love darkness rather than light. Light took on flesh. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." In him is life, and the life was the light of men. He said, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believes on me should not abide in darkness." Would you find with me the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11? And what you think and what you know about light, I'm going to ask you to apply here to the passage that I have in front of me. Luke 11, look at verse number 13 with me. "And he," Jesus, "was casting out a demon, and it was dumb. And it came to pass, when the demon was gone out, the dumb spoke, and the people wondered. But some said, 'He casts out demons through Beelzebub, the chief of the demons.' And others, tempting him, sought a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, 'Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falls. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that I cast out demons through Beelzebub. And if I by Beelzebub cast out demons, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I with the finger of God cast out demons, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man armed keeps his palace, his home, his courtyard. His goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he has come upon him and overcome him, he takes from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divides his spoils. Now the context of Luke chapter 11 is demon possession. Actually, it's more than that, but they were seeing Jesus cast demons out of people, and the scribes and the Pharisees proceeded to say, "Jesus, you're casting out demons through the prince of the demons." They called him Beelzebub. Look at that 22nd verse. Jesus says this in answer to them. He says, "When a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he takes from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divides his spoils." Have you ever thought, has anyone here ever thought that Satan wears armor? Look in the passage. You'll see that the stronger in the passage is definitely Jesus. Jesus is casting out demons. And how did he do it? It says here he comes upon the devil, he overcomes the devil, and look closely at that 22nd verse. He takes all his armor away from him. Divides his possessions. Have you ever thought that Satan has had all of his armor stripped from him? Please think about it like this with me. Without his armor, Satan is defenseless. Jesus is who he is. And because he's who he is, and because he can do what he can do, Satan has been completely defeated. Listen, today Satan is armorless. Satan has no defense. Now, would you look at Christian light? Look at the Christian and the light. Look at the Christian and the person of Jesus, who is the light. And think about what you know or you understand about the devil and how he works. Now think about the Christian with me, please, and what kind of armor does a Christian wear? This is what I want you to find with me, Ephesians chapter 6. So find with me this passage that deals with the armor of the Christian. Ephesians chapter 6. Is it important for a Christian to wear armor? What is it? Why is it so important? And how does a Christian defeat the devil? Verse 10, please. "Finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the deceptions of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age." So I began with light, because I want you to think about the light. I'm going now to say something to you about the devil and what the Bible says about the devil. And I want to talk about the Christian being clothed with the armor of God and how they fit together. The Bible says this, and listen closely. It says, "The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." So I've titled today's message, "What Will You Wear in 2019?" A couple things are on my heart this morning. The first one is the fact that we live in two realms. We live in a two-realm world. There's a realm of darkness and there's a realm of light. There's a realm of spiritual darkness, and there's a realm of spiritual light. Now, I want to say something about clothing. I want to say something about armor. But I want to start by telling you that there's two kingdoms in the world right as we sit here today. There's a kingdom of darkness, and there's a kingdom of light. One is dominated by spiritual darkness, and one is dominated by spiritual light. Listen to these words of the Apostle Paul when he prayed for the Colossians. He said that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father who has made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. I know you've heard me preach it many, many times, but so much happened at the cross. One day you repented. One day you put your trust in Jesus. One day you were given the gift of righteousness. And you were also, on that same day, delivered from the kingdom of darkness. Given righteousness from heaven, but delivered from the kingdom of darkness. I've been forgiven. I'm on my way to heaven. But I want you to know that a Christian is somebody who's been delivered out of the kingdom of darkness. I have been delivered from the kingdom of darkness, and I've been transferred into the kingdom of light. Listen again, the Apostle Paul. You were formerly darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Live as children of light. Does anybody here believe me this morning that there are two kingdoms, a spiritual kingdom of darkness and a spiritual kingdom of light? Do you believe that you were once darkness and that you are now light in the Lord? You see how I have pleaded with you and continue to plead with you, believe what it says in the Bible. The Bible is the reality. The Bible is the truth. If the Bible says that there's a kingdom of darkness, and the Bible says there's a kingdom of light, and the Bible says that you've been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, that's absolutely true. You are no longer darkness. You are now a child of the light. Just like there's two parts to every single day, a dark one and a light one. Would you please agree with me that one realm has Christians in it and one realm does not have Christians in it? If you've been saved, you've been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. The ones that are in the kingdom of darkness are Satan, unbelievers, and Satan's emissaries. Listen again to the word, 1 Thessalonians 5. You are the children of light, the children of the day. You are not of the night. You are not of darkness. First, reality consists of two realms, spiritual dark and spiritual light. Second of all, Satan, your armorless foe, dwells in the spiritual darkness. Look at verse 10, Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, watch this, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Now, I realize Ephesians 6 is about the devil. I realize that, okay? But I want you to think with me about the light. I want you to think about the armor called the armor of light. A man came to me just about 1 week ago, and he said to me, he said, "I think a lot about the devil." He said, "Do you think that's okay?" So my answer was, the Lord wants you to think about Him much, much more than you do thinking about the devil. But we do need to consider the devil. But we do not need to dwell on the devil. But we need a passage like Ephesians chapter 6, because we ought to know what we wear. I don't think a day goes by that you don't think about what you wear. Does anybody? What's the first thing you do in the morning? You find some clothing to wear that you know you need to wear. Well, what about the spiritual armor? You see, your enemies are not physical. They are not material. Your enemies are invisible. You cannot see them, but they are undeniably real. The rulers of the darkness of this age, the Bible says, are the ones that a believer stands against. So why did Jesus come here? Listen closely. 1 John 4:8. Listen closely. This is why Jesus came here. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifest, that He might destroy the works of the devil. That's what it says. And He destroys the works of the devil through you and me. So here's the truth, here's the reality. One of the main purposes as a child of God is this business of being called, in Ephesians chapter 6, to stand against the deceptions of the devil. Listen closely to this, folks, please. You've been called by God to stand against an enemy you can't see, wearing armor you can't feel, in a battle whose enemy lives in the dark. You all know that Satan is the prince of darkness. You've heard that Satan is the prince of darkness. There's not a single place in the Bible where Satan is called the prince of darkness. I'm not saying that that's not true. There was a man who wrote a book back in the 4th century. Supposedly, his name was Nicodemus, and supposedly he wanted to put his book into the Bible. So he wrote a book called The Acts of Pontius Pilate. First chapter of the book talks about a conversation between the Jews and Jesus. The Jews were claiming that Jesus was casting out demons by somebody called the Prince of Darkness. It's the first time it's used, but it's not found in the Bible. But really, there is a realm of darkness, and really, there is a Prince of Darkness. I want you to think about, there are two realms. You live in two realms. Now, you may be ignorant of one of the realms, but you do live in two realms. But Satan is also dwelling in that second realm, the realm of darkness. You see it right here in Ephesians chapter 6. Third thing I want you to see this morning is that the Bible says a soldier wrestles. So I'm going to say it like this. A soldier wrestles? What's it say in your Bible? For we wrestle. Isn't that what it says there? Now, normally you don't think of a soldier getting down on his knees and wrestling. I wrestled in high school. Those of you who don't know how to wrestle, well, it's very difficult to be a good wrestler. But this has nothing to do with wrestling. The old English word wrestle just simply means a contest or a conflict between two parties. That's all it's saying there. It's a contest between two parties. So don't think of a soldier, please, clothed in armor, down on his knees trying to wrestle. That is not what a Christian is. A Christian does not wrestle in that sense whatsoever. But it's a conflict. There is a fight. There is a struggle. It's two people in competition with one another. We struggle, look again at this passage, we struggle not against flesh and blood, not against the physical realm, but the Bible says against satanic authorities, principalities, you know what they are, territories. Christians are opposed to satanic forces, powers, spiritual rulers, those in the authority in the kingdom of darkness, but also those who have lost their authority in the kingdom of darkness. Yet they still exert an influence. Listen, because Satan still exists and sin still exists, there is a conflict between the believer and the darkness. But wrestling implies that a Christian is in an invisible conflict with God's enemies, with Satan, his emissaries, his territories, and the rulers of his kingdom. I hope I've God's grace this morning that you can see with me that there is a battle taking place as we speak. What does it say in Ephesians 6? Satan dwells in spiritual darkness. There is spiritual darkness and spiritual light. A Christian wrestles, simply saying that a Christian is in conflict with those who live in the darkness of this age. Let me say one more thing. How much power does Satan have? Would you listen with me, please, to Jesus in the Gospel of John? Listen to what Jesus said. When he is come, that's the Holy Spirit, he'll reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Sin because they believe not on me. Righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. And judgment because the prince of this world is judged. You see, the Holy Spirit comes to work in people's hearts when they hear the good news. And here's what he does. The Bible says he reproves. That means he convicts. That means he makes you feel guilty. He reproves the world of sin because they don't believe on Jesus. He convicts the world of righteousness because Jesus is no longer here. And he convicts the world of judgment because the devil, the prince of the world, has been judged. Now, when you tell somebody the good news, the Holy Spirit takes the good news and he brings conviction to the heart. When a person hears the good news sometimes registers as bad news because the good news includes the facts about sin, righteousness, and judgment. But when a person believes on Christ, they are released from the sin and the judgment. And think about it like this. Every day of life in this world, people are coming to Christ. Whether you know it or not, as I speak this morning across the globe, in Asia, in South America, in Europe, there are upwards to 60,000 people being saved a week. Did not say America. I said South America. Across the globe as we speak today, there are multitudes of people who are coming out of the darkness into the light. Does anybody here have any idea how many Muslims are being saved on the average today alone? See, folks, we're in a world that is literally filled with Christians. The difficulty that we have, many of us have, is we don't know. We don't read. We don't know what's going on in the world around us. And we don't know what God says in his word. But as we speak today, the kingdom of Satan is being routed one by one, one person at a time. Please remember that when we're thinking about the armor of the Christian, the armor of light that a Christian needs to put on is an armor of light that is necessary in order for the devil to be completely destroyed. See this word over in Colossians where the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus, having spoiled principalities and powers, it says he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. The spoiled carries this idea that there was a war, and now the devil has been completely disarmed. Would you please think with me this morning about the devil having been completely disarmed? Completely stripped of his power. And I go back to the cross, and I tell you again and again and again and again, you need to go back to the cross of Christ, because all of life comes from the cross. Your relationship with God comes from the cross. Well, what happened at the cross 2,000 years ago is Satan was completely vanquished. Think about how powerful it was that when he was thinking that he was going to destroy Jesus, the Bible says that Christ in his death paid the penalty for our sins, then he died and rose again. So Satan lost the battle at the cross, and then he lost the battle at the resurrection tomb. Yet the devil is still active. So I'm going to ask you the question again. How much power does the devil have? The Bible says that he has yet to be cast into the abyss. The Bible said he roams the globe like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's still active. He's still active in the spiritual darkness. And he devours by deception, looks for people to devour by deception. Now, would you think with me, please, about what Satan has? Does he have anything? You know what Satan has? Satan has power. And you know what kind of power Satan has? The power of influence. And you know how Satan uses his influence? He lies. Now, I know that there's people in our world who are, I guess you might even call them experts at lying. But the only power that Satan has is the power of deception. The only power that Satan has is the power of lies. He still travels about the world, purveying the world with lies. So what power do you see Satan is having? You see, folks, when the Bible tells us that the devil was vanquished at the cross, the only thing that the devil can do is to speak lies. And believe me, there's a lot of lies that are in the world today. And I know that this is so valuable and so important, but when the Christian doesn't put the Bible in his heart, the Christian is liable to lies. When the Christian doesn't listen to the Bible, learn the Bible, love the Bible, live the Bible, we are susceptible to the deceptions of the devil. He spreads lies. You don't like somebody in your family who spreads lies. You don't like somebody in your family that lies, that speaks lies. You don't like somebody in your family that deceives you. None of us like that. But that's exactly what the devil does. That's the power. It's almost like he whispers. He puts lying thoughts into the air. And yes, there are many who hear Satan lying. Let me give you an example of this simply and practically. Does anybody here believe the promises of God? Yes, amen. I believe the promises of God. What happens when you memorize a promise of God, and now a thought comes into your mind, and you start debating whether or not that's true? Well, where did that thought come from? You see, folks, Satan is a main proponent of doubt. So how in the world does a Christian ever deal with the devil? Could I make this as practical as I can? I want to make this as simple and as practical as I can when it comes to dealing with the devil. when was the last time you came to a traffic light, looked at the traffic light, noticed that that traffic light had authority, and stopped? Was it today? You got to the traffic light and you stopped? Right? Well, what about last week when you came to the traffic light and there was a policeman there? And that policeman was telling you to go on under the light even though it was red. Who has the authority? The policeman or the light? And it happens every single day wherever there's any kind of construction or something going on the road. Let's just suppose you got to the light and you decided to obey the traffic light instead of the policeman. Anybody think that might cause a little problem, to say the least? Obviously, it would. Would you please consider Satan as having the power to lie? He lies all the time. He persuades people to believe his lies. Christ comes into a person's life, and what does Christ do? Christ says, I have the authority. I am the one in authority. I'm the one in charge. No matter what Satan thinks, no matter what Satan says, no matter whatever the lies are, please remember that anything that Satan says or does is superseded by the policeman, whose name is Jesus. He's the policeman. Satan has no more authority over you than that traffic light with the policeman underneath it. Listen, where Christ is present, he's the authority and not Satan. No matter how strong you think Satan is, no matter how much influence you think he has in the world, no matter how many lies he tells, no matter how much power he thinks he has, someone else is present who supersedes anything that he does or says. So how much power does Satan have? He only has power when we believe his lies. He only has power when we don't understand the truth. When Jesus was talking one day about scattering the seed, remember one day he said he's out scattering seed at various places there? He says some people, when the seed is scattered, they don't understand the message. And the devil, the Bible says, snatches them away. I'm constantly encouraging you and pleading with you to read and study and learn and know God's Word. Let's suppose you're feeling guilty over a particular sin, a sin that you committed. So you ask yourself the question, is this guilt from the Holy Spirit now that I feel, or is this guilt from the devil? The answer is quite simple. When the Holy Spirit brings you conviction because of sin, he leads you to the light, to the cross, to the blood of Jesus, to be washed, to be restored in fellowship. But oftentimes, what the devil does is he brings you tremendous condemnation. So instead of believing the light, instead of believing what God says, then you begin to feel and to sense some sort of experience of condemnation. Listen, folks, he does this over and over and over to believers. And oftentimes what happens is we push aside the Word. When the Word says there's no condemnation, when the Word says that there is complete forgiveness, when the Word says you're completely cleansed of all unrighteousness when you confess your sin, you don't believe God. You push God's Word aside. Listen, folks, the ultimate defeat comes when we push aside the Word of God. You need God's Word to not only register in your heart and in your mind, but in your spirit. I want you to think about Jesus as the policeman under the light. Stop listening to the voice of the deceiver. The devil never wants you to enjoy your relationship with God. 1, spiritual darkness versus spiritual light. 2, Satan is an armorless foe dwelling in spiritual darkness. 3, a soldier, a Christian soldier, wrestles. He is in conflict with the rulers of the darkness of this age. 4, how much power does Satan have? Only the power to lie. Number 5, have you put on the armor of light? What does it say in the Bible? Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Romans 13:12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. And here in Ephesians, Paul reminds us that there are seven pieces of armor. Let me say the seven pieces for you this morning, because they're so absolutely wonderful. Look at verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for some of the saints. For all the saints. Here they are. Truth, righteousness, the gospel of peace, faith, salvation, the word of God, and prayer. Those are the seven pieces of armor, the armor of light, that God says that you must put on every single minute of the day. And by the way, does anybody know what armor is for? You know what armor is for? Protection. You want to be protected against the wiles, the deceptions of the devil, put on the seven pieces of armor. That's what the Bible says. Yours in an armor of light. By the way, who hates the light? Who here hates the light? You know who hates the light the most? The devil. He not only hates the light, he is afraid of the light. He hates the light, and he's afraid of the light, and he prefers to operate under the cover of darkness and deception. And Satan thought he was so shrewd that he could deceive people into putting Christ to death. And look what happened. Now we're upwards to 60,000 people a week being saved in Asia, in the Middle East, and South America. So what does the armor look like? Here they are. Here's the armor. The ones that enable you to stand against your emissaries in the world of darkness. A mind and a heart that's set on loving and living the truth. A heart that's filled with and engaged in daily righteousness. 3, a readiness and a willingness to get the gospel of peace to people around you. 4, a constant attitude of faith, trusting everything and every circumstance to your Heavenly Father. 5, a heart that's sure of its salvation. 6, a heart filled with the Word of God. 7, a voice that's constantly lifting up prayers. These are the 7 pieces of clothing that you need. Now, I'm saying, what about the pieces of clothing you're going to need for 2019? You don't just need them for 2019, you need them for today. Armor is for protection. You put on the armor, you're fully protected. Please think about how marvelous that is. So how are you going to live in 2019? Are you going to neglect the armor? Or are you going to put on the armor? Are you going to understand the armor? Or are you going to dismiss the armor? Bible says, walk as children of light. You are not children of the darkness. You are children of light, children of the day. A Christian has no right thinking that he is susceptible to Satan's wiles. You are not. If you believe you are, Satan has already deceived you. The devil wants you for his next victim. But the Christian who stands fully dressed in the armor of light is able to stand against Satan and all his deceptions. So will you put the armor on today? Will you put the armor of light on today? And there's only one thing to do. Look at the passage and you'll see there's only one primary thing to do. The Bible says, stand. Look again at the passage. Stand, therefore, having the armor on. Stand. It's not easy to stand. It actually means to withstand, but it actually means to stand. In the armor of light, you stand. Listen closely, 1 Peter 5, verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. So I want you to see with me, please, this morning, one of the purposes for your life is to stand against the wiles of the devil. And every time Satan brings a doubt, every time Satan tempts, every time Satan insists that you feel condemned, you do the following. You remind yourself that that day at the cross, Jesus died so that he could defeat the devil. I want to close with the following. Actually, I want to close with a prayer. Actually, I want to close with a four-word prayer. I want you to go away from here today with a four-word prayer. Wherever you see Satan working, wherever you sense his doubts, wherever he brings confusion, you'll be able to pray this prayer. And it comes out of a story in the Bible. One day the apostles got into a boat and they were going to cross the Sea of Galilee and they were with Jesus. And Jesus was tuckered out and he went right to sleep. While he's sleeping, storm comes up, a very large storm, with lots of wind, and the waves were so large they were filling up the boat with water. And the Bible says that Jesus was asleep on a pillow. By the way, in the three Gospels where they're found, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you'll see the exact same thing happen in all three passages. It's very simple what the Lord did that day. They woke Jesus up and they said, "Don't you care that we're about to perish?" The Lord said the following. Now listen closely to what the Lord said. The Lord rebuked the wind and the waves. The wind stopped blowing and the waves instantly stopped crashing. You see that little word rebuke? You cannot rebuke the devil. The only one that can rebuke the devil is the Lord. So can I ask you today, with the armor of light on you, you need to say to the Lord, "Lord, rebuke the devil." And when you begin to pray that prayer, wherever you see confusion, wherever you see doubt, wherever there's temptation, wherever there's sin, when you start learning to pray that prayer, do you think God's going to say no? Think about the power of Jesus when he simply spoke to the wind and he spoke to the waves. And the Bible says they stopped. Ask the Lord to do on your behalf what only He can do with relation to the kingdom of darkness. Father, we thank You that we are indeed the victors in Christ. Thank You, Lord, that You know our hearts and You love our hearts. You love us with a mighty, marvelous love. There are some, dear Lord, today here that are dealing with the devil. And we know, dear Lord, that it's only when they say no, that not that can believe the lies of the devil, but they're going to trust You and pray that prayer. Lord, I pray this morning that You would rebuke the devil so that any doubts, any temptations, any confusion that's coming into our hearts and minds would be stopped, and Satan would be completely hindered by the hearts of these people right here who are indeed the children of light. We thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for the cross. Thank You that we found life. Thank You that we found the Savior. And now we found light in Your Son, in whose name I pray. Amen.